For his sake, for all your sakes, there is nothing I would not do for him. I dare not think much about Geoffrey. As I work, there is a shadow over everything. I know it is there, but I try not to think why it is there or analyze it too much. Do you think it strange, I wonder, that while I loved and love Roland so much, I loved Geoffrey a little too? Strange that Geoffrey should die on exactly the same day as his beloved Rupert Brooke, 2 years before. The army is characteristically slow in its method of dealing with my attempt to get home. It has already taken a week and has not yet officially given me permission to go. Malta, 12th of May, 1917. I have at last got permission to resign and proceed to the United Kingdom, and now it is a case of wait, wait, wait until the opportunity to do so comes. The risk, of course, is great, but half the world at present are running greater ones daily. I may leave in 1 week, maybe two, maybe three. The chief point is to get back before you go. The uncertainty about going and the suspense about things happening at home are hard to bear, but I shall count these as nothing if only I can reach you. One hopes for the best. The gods are not angry forever, and perhaps for once they will be kind to those to whom they have been so cruel.
Stafford, 28th of May, 1917. Dear Vera, awfully glad you've got back all right. You have arrived in time, and it will be great to see you again. I expect you visited Tar today. Edward.
I found Victor in bed in the garden of the hospital, his fingers lethargically exploring a big book of Braille. His head was still copiously bandaged, and one brown eye, impotently open, stared glassily into fathomless blackness. Hello, Tar. Do you know who it is, Tar?
Tar? Why? It's Vera.
All that afternoon we sat and talked. The world had closed in around him. He definitely discouraged the description of loveliness that he could no longer see, of activities that he could never again share, and at first seemed interested only in discussing the visits of his friends. But of his complete rationality there could be no question. And on the successive afternoons when I visited him, he seemed to have accepted his fate, and news of the work that had already been done making other sightless officers independent stimulated his own determination. Only a week later, however, there was an unexpected change. Victor had told his nurse that during the night something had clicked in his head, like a miniature explosion. After that, he gradually grew vaguer and stranger. By the time his father, aunt,